turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. Psalm 119. I didn't know for sure about this till about, 4:30 this afternoon, but I'm pretty sure the Lord's lit a fire under this. Amen. So we're going to try to share with you what He has shared with us. On Sunday morning, I got to try to be mindful of the time, but on Sunday morning, we looked at a portion of Scripture on deliverance from the dust, and verse 25 down through verse number 32, and then deliverance from that soul that melts, the soul that melts for heaviness. Tonight, I want to back up into verse number 9. That'd be the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. In my Bible, it's spelled B-E-T-H. I'm not sure how you would pronounce that in Hebrew. But Psalm 119 is divided up into 22 sections. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet and 8 verses in each section. And there was a little phrase jumped out at me, and then a song jumped out at me, and then I can't tell you what all jumped out at me, but I'm going to try to tell you in the next 35 or 40 minutes, okay? And let's read verse 9 through verse number 16. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Brother Larry, wait just a minute. Sister Iris. Miss Eve, help me with the last name. Brother Larry, Sister Iris. Hilton. Thank you, Brother Wayne. Amen. I like Brother Larry because he always, every Sunday morning, says, "Hello, young man." Hallelujah, I like that. Amen. If y'all want me to like you better, just start calling me young man. Amen. Oh, Brother Larry says that every Sunday morning. I say, "Hello, young man." Shake my hand. Anyway, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Brother Brian, that's the phrase that jumped. And then you tell him the story about that young preacher that going across the parking lot, he was saying, "You know, sometimes my mind just wanders." Does that ever happen to you? I think is the way you shared that with us. And so that phrase jumped out at me. And I want to speak to you tonight out of these verses. I'm going to read the rest of them on, "Oh, let me not wander. Let me not wander." Now, that's not wonder. That's an A, wander. And "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Brother Harv, holler at me and tell me your brother's name. That was your brother that was here Sunday night, right, brother? Jerry. Jerry. Okay. Jerry was telling me Sunday night after church where he had taught a lesson on Psalm 119 Sunday morning. And he was giving me the names, you know, and I don't have them all in front of me, but it's called, God's word is called His commandments. It's called His statutes. It's called His ways. It's called His testimonies. And over, I think there's only a handful of verses in Psalm 119 that do not directly mention the word of God in one way or another. So I want to speak to us tonight on this subject. Oh, let me not wander. Let me not wander. Let's pray. Father, I pray that I could be a blessing tonight to our people. Lord, you sure have blessed my heart with this thought. I pray, God, that could be conveyed and be a blessing to someone else's heart. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. How many have ever heard the song, or you can remember hearing the song entitled, Come Thou Fount of Many Blessings? When I was preparing and thinking about that phrase jumped out at me, then that song, a line in that song, that's all that I could get was just a line. I didn't even know the title of the song. But where it said, prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. And I want to share the song with you tonight, and then I want to say something about that, and then get right on into the message. I'm going to read these verses, and Brother Rick, you can tell Sister Danita, I mean, I don't know if she sings this song or not yet. You get the hint, don't you? Amen. Listen to this. Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it. Mount of thy redeeming love. Sorrowing I shall be in spirit, till released from flesh and sin. Yet from what I do inherit, here thy praises I'll begin. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Here by thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure to safely arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. How his kindness yet pursues me. Oh, praise God. Did we ever want to know that he pursued us when we were lost in sin? But how his kindness yet pursues me. Mortal tongue can never tell, clothed in flesh, till death shall loose me. I cannot proclaim it well. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Listen to this last stanza. Oh, that day when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Clothed then in blood, washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angels now to carry me to realms of endless day. Hallelujah. Brother Larry, I had this on my heart and on my mind. I printed the lyrics to the song off, and I was already over here talking to Sister Helen. And Brother Jimmy, why'd you go, huh? Because it took me that long to think of Jimmy's name. Amen. Not feeling so young right now. Amen. And I got to thinking, Brother Dwayne, anybody write down words like that? They know a little something about walking with God. And I ran back over to the camper and I did a little research. I wanted to know the story behind the song, when it was written, who wrote it, and what was the story behind it. I'll share that with you. We're going to get into this message. Don't worry about that. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're here tonight and you say, well, I'm not prone to wander, you don't know yourself very well, and you don't know him very well. Because the better you know him, the better you'll know how prone to wander you and I are in this body of clay that we live in. Listen to this story. Robert Robinson, he lived from 1735 till 1790. I guess that would classify him as an old timer, wouldn't it? He was 8 years old at the time of his father's death. He was a very bright, headstrong boy who became increasingly more difficult for his mother to handle. When Robert turned 14, she sent him to London for an apprenticeship with a barber. Robert proceeded to get into even more trouble. How many knows this kind of people like I'm reading about? They make the best preachers you ever seen in the world. Amen. Anyway, Robert proceeded to get into even more trouble, taking on a life of drinking and gambling. At 17, Robert and some of his drinking buddies decided to attend an evangelistic meeting with a plan to make fun of the proceedings. They went to the meeting to make fun of the preacher. Make fun of what was going on. When George Whitefield began to preach, Robert felt as if the sermon was just for him. He did not respond to the altar call that night, but the words of the evangelist would haunt him for the next 3 years. That reminds me of something else I told Brother Brian not too long ago. I can't remember what meeting we were in, but God was working on hearts, yet we didn't see a response. And I remember telling Brother Brian right down here in front of the altar, I said, there was a day in my life when that would have bothered me real bad. But I said, I've learned. They have to go home with it now. They have to lay down with it now. When the lights go out, amen, the Holy Ghost keeps working, amen, and fingering around that heart and that life. So we don't need to be discouraged. I'm sure George Whitefield that night, he may not have seen anybody saved. But look what's about to happen. On December the 10th, 1755, at age 20, Robert finally yielded his life to Christ. Very soon thereafter, answered a call to the ministry. 3 years later, as he was preparing to preach a sermon at the Calvinist Methodist Chapel in Norfolk, England, Robert wrote, "Come thou fount of every blessing," to complement his sermon. The music for the hymn was composed by Asahel, A-S-A-H-E-L, Nettleton in 1813. I thought when I read that song, whoever wrote that knew what it was to walk with God. Whoever wrote that knew about the struggle with the dust that we talked about on Sunday. And whoever wrote that knew that they were prone to wander. The psalmist here, David, a man after God's own heart, he cries out, "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." I'm just going to introduce a message like this. Think about this for just a moment. I wonder tonight if David, when he penned those words down, wasn't thinking about a day when the kings go forth to battle. A day when he was at ease upon his bed, on his rooftop, when he was supposed to be in the battle. Personally, I believe that David's heart and mind were wandering that day. And when his heart wandered and his mind wandered, it wasn't too long after that until his eyes wandered. Am I right or am I wrong? And when David pins these words down, that "O" in that is like a desperation. Oh, let me not wander. I tell you what I believe. I mean, I know that we're all cut out of the same thing. But what would it do just before we came into every service? If we just bowed our head in the vehicle and said, "Oh God, let us not wander." Amen. Let's get our heart, our mind fixed on the songs of Zion, on the things of God, on the work of God, and give you our undivided attention. Same thing when we pray in our closet. God, let me not wander. Same thing when we read our Bible. How many struggles with that? You go to read your Bible, and the first thing you know, you're just wandering off here, wandering off there. And I believe, like Brother Brian said Sunday in the Sunday school, you're not always wandering off the bad things, but you're wandering off from the best thing. And I'm doing the same thing. I'm not preaching to you tonight. I'm preaching to me, and I'm enjoying it. I need it. Oh, let me not wander. Let me not wander. I looked at some of the times in the Word of God. I'm still just trying to introduce. The message won't be long, but the introduction might be a little lengthy. I looked at the word wander, and I didn't look at all the times, but in Numbers 32:13, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. There they go, wandering. Until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. I wonder, Brother Ralph, how many churches today are just wandering? They have no purpose. They have no aim. It's just like a social club. You just get together. The Word of God's not preached in a lot of quote-unquote churches. The songs of Zion are not sung in a lot of quote-unquote churches. You'd think you was in a rock concert instead of a church service. God said, I'm going to let them wander in the wilderness because they disobeyed him, wouldn't believe him. Deuteronomy 27:18 said, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. Seems like God's got something against wandering. You make the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people say amen. Job 12:24, he taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. Dear God, help us when Jesus come not to be wandering in a wilderness somewhere. Amen. Job 12:25, they grope in the dark without light. He maketh them to stagger. Wait a minute now. Let me back up here just a minute. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Don't forget that. And a light unto my... Here they're groping in the darkness without light. He maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. The word stagger comes from the same Hebrew word wander. Just wander around aimlessly like a drunken man. Listen to Jeremiah 14:10. Thus saith the Lord unto his people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Listen to Amos 8:11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water. Please, as I get into the message tonight, remember what's going on here. He said, but a famine for the hearing of the word of God. I found this little story and I thought it was interesting. I believe there is a famine in the land today for the hearing of the word of the Lord. A new pastor was asked to teach a boys' class. I thought about you, Brother Gary. A new pastor was asked to teach a boys' class in the absence of the regular teacher. He decided to see what they knew. So he asked, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? All the boys denied having done it. And the pastor was appalled by their ignorance. At the next deacon's meeting, he told about the experience. Not one of them boys know who knocked down the walls of Jericho. He lamented. The group was silent until finally one seasoned veteran of disputes spoke up. He said, preacher, this appears to be bothering you a lot. But I've known all those boys since they were born, and they're good boys. If they said they didn't know, I believe them. Let's just take up some money out of the repair and maintenance fund and fix the walls and let it go at that. You say, that could never happen. I think you'd be surprised. Amen. A famine for the hearing. They shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. What we have in front of us tonight, this Bible, is precious. According to the prophet Amos, there will come a day when people will get interested, but it'll be too late. They're not going to find it. So when they don't find the word of the Lord, then they're going to be looking for a place to hide from God, begging the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of Almighty God. Oh, let me not wander. Let me give you some things tonight. I'll try to give them to you quickly. Right in the passage of Scripture, I believe some things that will keep us from wandering, that will keep us from going astray as the people of God. First of all, we need to hear the Word of God. If you'll look at verse number 9, in the first part of the verse, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? You say, preacher, I don't know how you could get hear the word of God out of that. Well, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus said in John 17:17, as he's praying to the Father, and he's talking about us, his children, his disciples, the believer, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we need to hear. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Can I just say this tonight? Sinners aren't the only one that need faith. Sometimes we take that verse and we just apply it to the salvation experience. But God said to us that whatsoever not of faith is sin. Without faith it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so there's a need to hear. I'm going to say something tonight. I'm not being ugly. But I'm going to say something tonight. It's amazing to me how many people don't see any need to be faithful to hear the word of God. Maybe you don't need it. I do. I need it. I need the word of God. Amen. Brother Brian was talking about pastor at Bellevue, Brother Adrian Rogers. I still record the services there. Their house on DVR, I think is what you call it. You can set it and it'll record the services there at Bellevue Baptist Church. He said, preacher, why do you enjoy listening to that man? Because I've never listened to him, but what he wasn't preaching, the word of God. He pastored a big church. As far as number, a large church. But when it came to preaching on sin, he was just right down the row preaching on sin. Calling it like preaching on hell, right down the row preaching on hell. And I need to hear the word of God. The Bible said over there in the book of Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Let me just say this quickly and I'll move on. The word of God is how we started right. The word of God is how we'll stay right. And the word of God is how we can make it to see Him right. Amen. I believe that's where that a major area, there's more than one area, but that's a major area where the Catholics have it wrong. They have a man as the final authority. But I tell you, thank God, the man, Christ Jesus, the Word of the living God, this is the final authority. And if God said in this book it's wrong, it's still wrong. If God said in this book it's right, it's still right. I've heard people say, well, there's just so many shades of gray these days. As far as I can tell, when you read in this book, it's black and white. God said what He meant. God meant what He said. I'll not get into all that. I could stay there a while. We need to hear the Word. Secondly, we need to heed the Word. Look at the second part of verse 9. By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? Hearing the word of God by taking heed. He's not just hearing. Listen, Brother Brian, to this. You'll enjoy this. James chapter 1, verse 21. Going back to your Sunday school lesson. Wherefore, lay apart. Brother Brian's in here Sunday morning talking about laying aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And listen, in James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with... Let me ask you a question. Is James written to sinners or saints? Who's he written to? It's written to saints. Written to believers. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Underline that phrase, forgetful hearer. Put that down in your heart and in your mind, because we'll say something about that at the very end of the message. We need to hear the word of God. We need to heed the word of God. Well, you say, preacher, what's the big deal? To keep us from wandering. If you were to lay out a church for a week or 2 weeks, how many believes you'd be well on your wandering way? Lay your Bible down for a week or 2 weeks. How many believes you'd be well on your wandering way? So we need to hear it. We need to heed it. But then, thirdly, if you look at the first part of verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Look at verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. This is something that I think is very important. In Psalm 119, verse 18, he said, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. A good way to pray when you open your Bible. God, open my eyes, my spiritual eyes, that I can behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let me ask you a question. How many has ever experienced the reading of the Word of God and it has gotten to be at times boresome? You did it out of duty? I mean, really, I don't like to just read from Genesis to Revelation. You say, preacher, why? One word, begat. I like to read some in the Old Testament, some in the Psalms, some in the New Testament, you understand what I mean? Because that way you don't get too far bogged down in begat. But you know what? Every one of them begats is in there because God wanted it to be in there. And I guarantee if you just dig down deep in those genealogies, there's something important about every name God put in this Bible. We need a heart, thirdly, for the Word of God. Need to hear it, need to heed it. We need a heart. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. I was thinking about Psalm 1. I believe in Psalm 1 you see a heart. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. What's happening? He's not wandering. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Then it said this, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. David understands if he gets away from God's word, he behaves like the ungodly. I believe if a man's ever been truly born again, he's eternally born again. But in this Bible, over and over and over, you don't even have to take a close examination. You just start reading about men like Samson. You start reading about men like David. You start reading about men like Peter. You start reading about good men, godly men, that did not always behave like good men and godly men. They wandered. I believe that preacher, even though, you know, the Bible, the story there said he was at the pastor in the Calvinist Methodist Church, that tells you something about what he believed. But I believe that was a godly man. I believe he knew the Lord. And I believe he knew how sorry his flesh was. And how prone to wander. We need a heart for the Word of God. Number four, we need to hide the Word of God. Look at verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That reminds me of a little joke I heard years ago. I may not get it exactly right, but I'll get it close. The preacher knocked on this lady's door and mama said to one of the children, said, go in there and get that book that your mama so dearly loves. And they came back with the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Amen. I don't know why that came to my mind, but it just did. I heard that years ago. We need to hide the Word of God in our heart. How many of you all can remember a day when it was easier to memorize than it is today? Amen. What's your problem, Brother Rose? Amen. Amen. I tell you, even though we get older and even though it gets harder, we shouldn't give up. I've had it in my heart, and Brother Arnold, we may start doing it. May start this year, right now, putting a verse of Scripture in the bulletin every week for all of us to memorize. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Just get up on Sunday morning or Sunday night and just recite the verse together. Wouldn't that be good? Just at least hide one verse a week. Amen. In our heart and in our life. And if y'all could make buddies, Brother Tim, just find out, you know, who's sitting in front of you and just plaster a card on their back. Amen. If you can't get it all memorized, just read it off their back. Amen. That sign better not say, kick me. Amen. A verse of Scripture. We need to hide the Word of God in our heart. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. I'm just about done. I hope you've enjoyed this. I have. Oh, let me not wander. Brother Arnold, when you're racked with pain, You're prone to wander, aren't you, brother? I know that's a hard. If I get overly tired, does anybody, when you just run down, you're a lot more prone to wander. Amen. No wonder the psalmist is crying out for strength. Need to hide the word of God. Let me show you some things real quickly. Just real quickly. I'm just going to give you these words that the Lord gave me in the rest of these eight verses. What will happen when we don't wander, when we hear the word, when we heed the word, when we have a heart for the word, when we hide the word of God? What will the word of God produce in our lives? I think I've got about four things here. Number one, a declaration. Look at verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. In other words, if we're not wandering and we are doing these things, we're hearing the word, we're heeding the word, we're hiding the word, and what was that other one? We have a heart for the word of God, then we're going to want to declare the word of God to somebody else. We're going to want to tell it. Secondly, it'll not only produce a declaration, but it'll produce a devotion. Look at verse 14 and 15. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. In other words, it's not a duty anymore. It is sheer delight. The man and his wife took Miss Eve and I out to eat after church on Sunday. And I started at the salad bar. I thought it might impress somebody. Then I went on around and got some of that okra and some chicken and I don't know what all. But I tell you, I didn't even hardly get started till I got my eye on the delight. There was a cheesecake sitting over there. We were sitting there at dinner with this couple. And I finished my meal and I said, y'all hear that? That fellow said, what? I said, you hear that? He said, what? I said, that cheesecake. Said, Rick, come over here. I heard it. I obeyed. He said, preacher, why'd you say that? I thank God for the times in my life when it's been just as much a delight to run to His Word. And it's like you said there, did you hear that? Did you hear that? More times than not, what I come to this pulpit and preach is impressed upon my heart when my Bible is closed. And I'm just meditating and delighting in something that I've heard, something that I've read. Amen? Some wouldn't confess something like that. I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm not saying my Bible stays closed. You know better than that. Amen? But I'm just saying so many, many times, if not more times than not, I've not got a Bible open and sitting down and when God speaks to my heart. A devotion. The next thing in verse number 16 is a delight. It'll produce a light. A delight. He said, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I'll delight myself in thy statutes. And then the last thing, we've all read the Bible out of delight, and we've all read it out of duty. Help me right there. We've all come to church out of delight. And we've all come to church out of duty sometime or another in our life. Because it's the right thing to do. A fellow laying in bed one Sunday morning, his wife said, get up. He said, I ain't going. She said, get up. He said, I ain't going. He said, give me three good reasons why I ought to go. She said, number one, you love the Lord. And number two, you love God's people. And number three, you're the pastor. Get up! Brother Steve, even the pastor is not always in that delight mode. And I think it's right to go on out of duty. But I think it's best when we delight in the things of God. The last thing I see in the second part of 16, verse 16, he said, I will not forget thy word. Brother Rose, I don't know if it was you. Somebody was telling me a little while back about somebody that was very, very sick and couldn't remember anything. But they remembered their testimony. There needs to be that dedication that the psalmist has here to the Word of God. He said, I will not forget thy Word. Barbara's mother. I thought it was you that told me, brother. Barbara's mother. What about that? I heard the Inspiration sing a song several years ago now. Talking about, I believe it was either the man's wife was in the nursing home or the man's mother was in the nursing home. And dementia had set in real bad. And in the song, the title of the song was, Should the Day Come, I Can't Remember Him, He Will Remember Me. Brother Ralph, while I've got any mind at all, I want to remember him. I don't want to forget his word. How many's glad you come tonight? Y'all are a pretty good congregation. I enjoy preaching the word of God. My grandfather had a saying. He'd say, there's a lot of men living that can preach better than I do. But he said, there's not a man in shoe leather could enjoy it any more than I do. I enjoy sharing with you all what God so graciously shares with me. I talked to a pastor one time, and in a way, I guess it would be a good thing. But he said he knew what he was going to preach a year ahead of time. I'll tell you, for no other reason, you need to pray for your pastor. Because right now, he doesn't have any idea where he'll be Sunday morning. But I know I'll be in this book somewhere. By the grace of God, where He leads me, I will follow.